Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So in 1800, there were a few thousand Jewish people in Israel, all of Israel. Today, there are 6.5 million in Israel. Now, that is a fulfillment of prophecy. And we get excited when we see prophecy fulfilled.
Prophecy is one of the greatest proofs we have that the Bible is true, it is real, it is historic and historically accurate. Jews coming back to the nation of Israel is one of the most exciting prophecies fulfilled, and also the prophecy that ushered in the last days more than any other. The stage is set for Jesus to return. With more on what that means for us, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with more out of Luke 21, verses 20 through 24.
So what is he saying when Jesus says these are the days of vengeance in which all things that are written must be fulfilled? What he's going to say in a moment is that Israel is going to be scattered among the nations. That's what we read, right? And they will be captured and they will be scattered among the nations. So there are literally hundreds of passages in the Old Testament that God says, because you have not been faithful, I will bring an army against you and I will scatter you among the nations. Literally hundreds of them. If you just do this search, I'm not going to read you hundreds of them, and I'm sure you're very glad of that. I'm going to read you a handful. But if you do this search, what does the Bible say about Israel being scattered among the nations? And you're going to get a couple of different searches. One of them says 22 scriptures that talk about Israel being scattered. The next one says 100 scriptures about Israel being scattered. And there are more than that. There are more than those. Let me just give you a handful of them so we can see what's being fulfilled here. These are the day of vengeance that all things which are written may be fulfilled. There's been all these things written about God judging Israel because of their rejection of the prophets, because of their idolatry, because of their rejection of the Messiah. So I want to read you just a few of them. 1 Kings 14:15 says, "For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river because they have made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger." So that's a sense of what these are like. Let me read you a couple more. I've got five here. I think I'll read them all. Ezekiel 20:23. "Also, I raised my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries." So today, there are still Jewish people that are dispersed all over Europe. They used to be dispersed all over the Middle East, although they've been driven out from Iraq and Iran and other places where they had communities for thousands of years because they were dispersed. Syria is another place where they had communities for thousands of years, but they were dispersed. Leviticus 26, 32 and 33. "I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste." And Jerusalem lay waste for almost 2,000 years. Again, the land was destroyed. It was captured and recaptured. It's what the Crusades were about. The Ottomans against the British, and they took it. And when the Ottomans took it, they destroyed the cities, they cut down the trees, they salted the land, they brought it to a complete desolation. And then God promises, in the latter days, "I will restore the land, and I will restore the people to the land, and you will become a nation born again in a day." And we'll talk about all of that here in a moment. But first of all the promises to scatter. Deuteronomy 4:27. "And the Lord will scatter you among the people, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord has driven you." Psalms 44:11, this is my last one. "You have given us up like sheep intended for food and have scattered us among the nations." So Jesus is telling them, you're going to be surrounded by an army. When you are, flee. This is the time when all of the passages are going to be fulfilled and you are going to be scattered among the nations. It's the context, and context is so incredibly important. So listen to the rest of it now. I'm going to read it together. He says, "For these are the days of vengeance when all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword, which we read some of those verses, and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. So he says, these are the days of vengeance when all of these things must be fulfilled. We read just a handful of passages of them being scattered among the nations. And then Jesus says they will be scattered among the nations. So he is not saying this is going to fulfill everything, because obviously there's things that haven't been fulfilled yet. That's why most people aren't preterists. Preterists are a very small group of people. They read a lot of Josephus, the historian, and they come up with a lot of things that Josephus says. Josephus was a religious man, and he would talk about seeing things. I looked up and I saw horses in heaven, and they'll take those as being the return of Christ and such. Now, from the time of the destruction and dispersion in 70 AD, the Jewish people were scattered around the world, and Jerusalem was trampled by Gentiles, with only a few Jews ever living there, until the late 1800s, when God began remembering his promises to Israel that he would restore the land, the people to the land, and the military power to the land, and finally, the people of Israel to the Messiah. God says in Ezekiel 36, "Get ready, Israel, for my people are about to come, and I will restore your fruitfulness." In the late 1800s, Jewish people began buying land from Arab people in Israel. Not just Arabs, whoever had the land there. And they bought swamps. They bought desolate land. They began to plant trees. If you're older and you went to Jerusalem, you remember getting in the airport and buying a tree to plant while you were in the land. They needed to plant the trees because the Ottomans cut them down completely. The forests that are in Jerusalem are not the forests of the ancient world. They chose trees that do well in desert arid areas and that can break up the ground and can do well without a lot of water so that they could have the trees. Some of the forests, when they planted them, now they're still planting forests in Israel and they're planting them randomly now, but some of the forests, when they first planted them, they planted them in rows. So when you go there and you're in these forests they planted in like the early 1800s, you're like, this is the weirdest forest I've ever been in. You're just looking down these alleyways because of the ways they planted the trees. And then it says in Ezekiel 36, 7, 8, and 9, that God's going to bring them back into the land, that God's going to establish them there, that they're going to come like troops of people to the land. So in 1800, there were a few thousand Jewish people in Israel, all of Israel. Today, there are 6.5 million in Israel. Now, that is a fulfillment of prophecy. And we get excited when we see prophecy fulfilled. And Israel, if you've never been there, is as much like America as anywhere else that I've ever visited. And I haven't visited Canada, so I don't know. Maybe I don't think I have, but it's as much like America as any place I've ever visited. That doesn't mean we agree politically with everything Israel's doing. The Bible says it's going to happen. The Bible doesn't say it would happen justly all the time. It's really important for us to understand. Something comes to pass because the Bible said it, and that's exciting. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be suffering that takes place. And I don't think the Palestinians have treated the Jewish people right, and I don't think the Jewish people have always treated the Palestinian people right. The Palestinians had the right to declare a state in 1948 when the UN, which was given all of the land, which was part of the colonization of Britain during the time. They gave that to the UN. The UN made a promise to give in the Balfour Agreement to give all of what is Jordan today and Israel to Israel. Then they reneged on it and gave left of the Jordan to the Hussein family. And then they divided the land between Israel and the Palestinians. Israel accepted and became a nation in 1948. They accepted it. They said, okay, we're a nation. And they declared, Ben-Gurion declared them a nation May 14th, 1948. You can double check my date in case I'm wrong. The Palestinians said, as long as Israel's a nation, we won't be. And they immediately attacked. Immediately, Jordan, Egypt, Syria attacked, and the United States took military equipment from World War II, that was ended in what, the mid-40s, and moved it to Israel in their war of independence, which happened in 48, and we backed them, and they won. Some people say, well, it's a good thing that Israel had America behind them. Israel's very tiny. If you divide Arizona, it's like half the size of Arizona. Maybe it's even less than that. I just can't remember exactly how to divide it down. But the Bible said it was going to happen. They were going to become a nation again. Not only that, that Jerusalem was going to come under their control. And when they divided the land in 1948, Jerusalem belonged to the Palestinians, not to Israel. Then there was a war in 1967, the Six-Day War. There was another war, the War of Yom Kippur in 1973. And being outnumbered, being surrounded by armies, Israel won those wars. And they took the West Bank, they took the Golan Heights, they took Jerusalem for the first time. Listen to the words of Jesus. This is 40 years before, 38 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. And they will fall by the edge, this is verse 24 of Luke 21, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. So Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. I've got to say, according to what he says here, the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Now, the Temple Mount still belongs to Jordan. Jordan was the one who controlled Jerusalem, not the Palestinians, before the 67 war. They took the land from Jordan. So they gave it back to Jordan to control the Temple Mount. East Jerusalem is still a heavily Palestinian populated area. So maybe there still needs to be some more. Maybe it's still being trampled by Gentiles and the time of the Gentiles isn't fulfilled. But just the fact, folks, that the Jews have returned to Jerusalem is extremely significant. Now, let me read you one more passage, and then I got a few thoughts in closing and I'm done. All right? Just in case you're thinking, when is this guy gonna stop? Soon. Romans 11, 25 and 26 says this. This is after the church has been planted and Gentiles are being saved. This is the letter to the Romans, the Roman Christians in Rome, which very few of them were Jewish. Here's what Paul said to the Romans in Romans 11, 25, 26. I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. So he's going to tell them about a mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Blindness in part because there are Jewish people who get saved. Some of you guys are Jewish and you've gotten saved, but you also know that there is a blindness. They do not want to listen. They do not want to hear. They do not want to have a conversation. Blindness in part has happened to them until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So Jesus said at the end of Luke 20:24, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. The time of the Gentiles. And then in Romans 21, it says blindness has happened to them until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So could it be we're living in the time of the Gentiles has been fulfilled, but the fullness of the Gentiles has not yet come in? There are two different statements. They mean something slightly different. Something, again, we can look at into the future. But here's what he goes on to say. So all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn ungodliness from Jacob. Today, unfortunately, many Jewish people are secular. They are Jewish like a lot of Christians are Christian. They never go to church. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the resurrection. And they're like, I'm a Christian. I'm celebrating Christmas. But they're secular. That's the way a lot of Jewish people are. But one day, it says they'll all be saved. And I love that word. So all Israel will be saved. Now, and this is what I say now. I don't know if all always means all, right? When the Wildcats won the national championship, whatever year that was, how long ago was it, 90-something? 97, so it was a while ago. I love how some of you guys are like, damn, 97. Miles Simon, right? Damon Solomon. When we won the championship, we went to the store afterwards. The people are screaming in the store and running around. But that doesn't mean everybody was happy, right? Although we could say all of Tucson was excited. But here's what I do know. All of Israel being saved might not mean every single last one of them, but it can't mean a few of them. When the Bible says all of Israel will be saved, it's got to be the vast majority of them. And I think the way we could use all, for example, it says when Herod heard that the baby was going to be born in Bethlehem, that the king of the Jews was going to be born in Bethlehem, it says all of Jerusalem was disturbed. So they knew Herod. And when they heard that these wise men came in and heard that the king was born, they got disturbed. Did every person in Jerusalem get disturbed? Probably not, but most of them did. And so all of Israel will be saved. God's restored, I'm ending now. God's restored the land. He's restored the people to the land. He's restored them militarily, which he said he would, that they would be a military country again, the weapons in their hands. But the last thing it says is he restores them to their Messiah. They will receive Jesus as their Messiah, as a nation. That's in their future. Unfortunately, it comes through the tribulation period. Jeremiah 37 says, "Alas, the day is great. It is a day of Jacob's trouble." Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It is during that time they trust in the Antichrist. They believe in his peace treaty. He breaks it. He puts up a statue in the newly rebuilt temple that he rebuilt for the Jews. They realize what they've done and they turn to Jesus as their Messiah. That's as near of the timelines that I can put it together right now. Three things in closing. Number one, God keeps his promises. The fact that we are living in a time when Israel became a nation again, and God said that he would make them a nation again. I will disperse you all around the world and all around the people. But the passages I didn't read you were all of them that God's saying, I will bring you back into the land again. And he says, I'll do it twice, a second time. I will bring you back in the land. He dispersed them by Babylon, brought them back in the land, dispersed them by the Romans and brought them back in the land, even as he said that he was going to. God will keep his word. Think of all the promises God's made to you and me. And if God has kept his words to Israel, God will keep his words to us. Number two, the scriptures will be fulfilled. Do you know what they say is going to happen? It's time to study them, because if these came true, as Jesus said, then the scriptures will indeed be true. And since Luke 21 was fulfilled, the foreshadowing of the last fleeing of Jerusalem by the Jewish people, Matthew 24 will be fulfilled. Remember, one spoke of the destruction by the Romans, the other one spoke of the destruction by the Antichrist. Luke 21 will be fulfilled. There will be that last 7-year period. I don't know when it will be. The Bible says in the last days, there will be lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. It says there will be various earthquakes and wars and pestilences and famines that will be increasing like birth pains. It sure seems to me, since we don't know when he's coming back, but we can see the signs of the times, that we should get ready. So Jesus said, you don't know when I'm coming back, so get ready, because I'm coming back at a time you don't expect it. So you don't know. A lot of people today set dates. A lot of people at this point would end their sermon by saying, he could come back tomorrow. You better be ready. I don't believe in that kind of sensationalism. In fact, I think Jesus spoke against it. Jesus said, if they tell you I'm coming back soon, don't believe them. But you know the signs of the times. And are you ready? If Jesus comes back today, are you ready? Or if you go to be with him, because that could happen, right? You could go to sleep and wake up in heaven. I was going to say go to sleep and wake up dead. That didn't quite make sense. Because that could happen. Are you ready? And if you're not, then make yourself ready today. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this incredible passage and the fulfillment that we find of Scripture. Not only that it happened 40 years after Jesus said it, but that Israel has become a nation again and the Jews have returned to Jerusalem. And Jesus said Jerusalem would be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And today, Israel is under control of Jerusalem. And that happened in 1967. There's nothing else it could be but prophecy. And if your word is true prophetically, then your word is true spiritually. And you want to have a relationship with us. And so I pray for anyone here that doesn't have a relationship with you, that you would give them boldness to take the next step and say, I want to know you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But if you're here today and you've never received Christ, the Bible says in John 1, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life. This is from the words of Jesus. This is eternal life, that you know the one true God and the Son whom he sent. Do you know him? Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that some is going to say, away from me, for I never knew you. So some who think they know him don't know him. They don't have a real relationship with him. How do you get that real relationship with Jesus? You invite him in. He will not force his way into your life. He's given you the right over the door in your life. If you say, I don't want to be a Christian, he's not going to make you become a Christian. If you don't want to know him, you don't have to know him. But if today you want to know him, you can simply say, come into my life. This could be your day of glory, the day that God has set aside before the foundations of the world, that you surrendered your life to him and found eternity. The God that promised that Israel would once again be under Israeli control is the same God that promised if you received and believed in him, you would have eternal life. And he rose from the dead as a sign, a down payment that you will rise from the dead if you put your trust and hope in him. So I'm going to ask you something simple. You want to give your life to Christ today? You want to invite him in? I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just raise your hand. Be bold. Lord, I want you in my life. I want to surrender my life to you, and I want to live for you. Lift it up high so I can see it. God bless you, sir, right by the aisle. That's awesome. God bless you, sir, up in the balcony. That's awesome. If you're online, you don't need to raise your hand, but you can simply pray that prayer with us. You can say, I want Christ in my life. So, you can put your hands down. I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.